I just want to tell you all how happy I am to be back in the studio making a picture again.
It was a bilious piece of dirt that made me cry out in pain.
Did you say it was a brilliant piece of work and you'll fly me out to Spain?
I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it.
Friday movies, and yes, I'm ready for my close-up, and so are Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway and co-host of the Movie Day podcast, and Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday and co-host of the podcast. Welcome, guys.
Hey, John.
Hi, John.
So we get two films, and, you know, summer is becoming the time for all animation. I mean, we've already had animation blockbusters this summer, and another one could be the biggest one of all. Could someone explain to me about the Minions, though, before we hear a clip? What are the Minions? What, my kids are absolutely obsessed, particularly my five-year-old. They
Mine
came
too.
In with Despicable Me, right?
That's right. They're the little yellow pill-shaped henchmen. They sometimes have one or two eyes. They babble in a kind of non-specific Esperanto language. They were the henchmen to Gru, Steve Carell's character in Despicable Me. Now we're getting the origin story. Where did the Minions come from? How did they evolve to be these little henchmen?
They're kind of a cross between Teletubbies and bacteria, Kristen, or something like that?
That's a wonderful way to put it.
Right. Let's hear a clip.
Minions. Minions have been on this planet far longer than we have. They go by many names. Dave, Carl. Oh, that one is Norbert. He's an idiot. They all share the same goal. To serve the most despicable master around.
A fun movie. Is it great, Kristen?
Well, I think little kids who love this whole Minions world, they're just going to go nuts for this. My niece, my nephew, you guys with your kids. Kids love the Minions. And they're just these goofy little slapstick cuties. However, I'm not a child. I'm a grown-up. And so for me, I found it pretty boring. I found it pretty frustrating. It's very slapsticky. But also, I'm not a big fan of the Three Stooges, and they kind of remind me of the Three Stooges. So
often these movies pander to parents with, you know, every minute or so there's some pop culture reference or some scatological joke. Rafer?
How did you guess? It's set in 1968 in London, so you've got an entire classic rock soundtrack. You've got the Spencer Davis Group, the Kinks, the Who. You can tell all this stuff is in there just to get you, the adult, to like sit around tapping your toes and saying, oh, I remember that song, because your brain is just sitting there completely idle for the entire film.
All right, that's the premise. Does it work?
Listen, if you're five, this is going to be your dream come true. If you are over, say, 13, I think it's going to be a complete nightmare.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Sounds like a parent killer. Number two, Selfless. This is a sci-fi movie. Let's hear a clip.
Simply put, we offer humanity's greatest minds more time to fulfill their potential. And if you think about it, your homes, your yacht, the jet, all custom built by the world's finest craftsmen. And so will your new body be as well.
This is one of these personality body switch movies.
Yes.
It's a premise we've seen before. How does it work?
Yeah, and I love this kind of premise. You have this rich, old, mean guy who's going to transplant his consciousness into a young, hot body, this time Ryan Reynolds' body. The problem is here that Ben Kingsley, who's the rich, old, mean guy, once he's implanted, you know, the two consciousnesses are going to fight it out. But I just found it completely slow, completely boring, very complicated, too many coincidences, and it never once felt that Ryan Reynolds was acting out who Ben Kingsley was in the beginning of the movie.
Sounds like Inside Out with no inside, Rafer?
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds, you know, he basically plays kind of like a blank genetic hard drive, which I have to say is kind of a very good role for Ryan Reynolds. And I think that's kind of a problem in the movie. You know, he's so uninteresting on screen, as I think he always is. I still think the movie has a couple of good action set pieces in it. I think it works okay as a sort of modest thriller, but it's no great shakes. Self.
Best blank hard drive I've ever seen, says Rafer. All right, the podcast is going to be pretty exciting this week, eh?
Yeah, we have Dedo Montiel. He is the director of Boulevard, and Boulevard is the last movie in which Robin Williams actually appears, not as a voice actor, not as a side actor, but actually stars in. So that movie's out this week.
And we've got a little taste of that coming up. Have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks, John. You too.
Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway and co-host of the Movie Day podcast, along with Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday and co-host of the Movie Day podcast. Download it, won't you?
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.